Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. We begin with text 44, which we're not going to read the Sanskrit, just the translation, because there's no purport. Thereafter, the same Jayambhijai, the two doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, begotten by Vishrava in the womb of Keshini. They were extremely troublesome to all the people of the universe. Text 45. Narada Muni continued, "My dear king, just relieved Jai and Vijay of the Brahmana's curse, Lord Ramachandra appeared in order to kill Ravana and Kumbhakarna. It will be better for you to hear narrations about Lord Ramachandra's activities from Markandeya. In their third birth, Jai and Vijay, in their third birth, the same Jai and Vijay appeared in a family of Kshatriyas as your cousins, the sons of your aunt. Because Lord Krishna has struck them with his disc, all their sinful reactions have been destroyed, and now they are freed from the curse." Purport. In their last birth, Jai and Vijay did not become demons or Rakshasas. Instead, they took birth in a very exalted Kshatriya family related to Krishna's family. They became first cousins of Lord Krishna and were practically on equal footing with him. By personally killing them with his own disc, Lord Krishna destroyed whatever sinful reactions were left in them because of the curse of the Brahmanas. Narada Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhisthira that by entering Krishna's body, Shishupal re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the Lord's associate. Everyone had seen this incident. These two associates of the Lord, Jai and Vijay, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna in this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home back to Godhead. For whatever their position, certainly Jai and Vijay always thought of Krishna. Therefore, at the end of the Mausala Lila, these two associates of the Lord returned to Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Narayan's body. Therefore, although they visibly entered the body of Krishna, they actually re-entered Vaikuntha Loka as the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu. Through Lord Krishna's body, they returned to Vaikuntha, although they seem to have attained Swayuja Mukti in Krishna's body. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, "My dear Lord Narada Muni, why was there such enmity between Hiranyakashipu and his beloved son Prahlad Maharaj? How did Prahlad Maharaj become such a great devotee of Lord Krishna? Kindly explain this to me." Srimad Bhagavatam has different topics. There are 10 topics, it is said. And also there's 12 Mahajans, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilamanu, Prahlada, Janatas, Bhijmo, Vayur, Vyasakir, Vayam. So the Bhagavatam is not only about the different incarnations, but also about the different Mahajans. Because we only really have access to the incarnations, we can only understand the incarnations, practically speaking, through the feelings of the devotees, the great devotees, through their understanding and feelings, because Krishna is unlimited, and we get access to the unlimited Supreme Lord through his representatives. And that's called the simple succession. Now, Sukadeva Goswami, or here in this case, Yudhisthira Maharaj is inquiring from Narada Muni, and he wants to hear about these great devotees, because the devotees want to hear about the devotees of Krishna. And that way they can actually understand Krishna through the feelings of the devotees in his different incarnations. And we can understand the feeling of those devotees through the disciple succession, and therefore Prabhupada is giving us access to those feelings and those activities, the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna, as well as his devotees, through his purports, which are derived from the transcendental feelings and understanding of the previous acharyas. It's called transparent media. And it's our business to actually try to develop the same understanding as the acharyas and the same, ultimately, be receptive to the transcendental emotions and feelings that are coming down in disciple succession through these activities of Krishna and his devotees. Then that's called Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it may seem that we're just going from one story to the next, from one canto to the next. It doesn't really necessarily make too much sense what we're trying to do. But ultimately, here in the material world, because most of the first nine cantos have to do with the material world, although Krishna is appearing as the incarnations, he's appearing within this universe, or at least some universe. Because we can't understand what's beyond our present conception and present experience without first understanding what's within our present experience. If we can't change what we're doing in this world, we won't be able to enter into another world. Just like sometimes the devotees want to change the temple, they want to get a new temple. And somehow or another, Krishna doesn't allow them. And then when they actually fix up the old temple, then Krishna gives them a new one. Because if they got a new temple, they just make the same mess out of the new temple as they made out of the old one. Getting a new temple has no advantage if it's a mess. But there's an advantage if you take care nicely that what Krishna has already given us, then Krishna will give us something more because he can trust us that we'll actually care for it nicely. We'll use it in devotion. So similarly, if we can't see this world in relationship to Krishna and Krishna's purposes in this world, then how do we expect to understand Krishna's pastimes in the transcendental world, which is the perfection of all the lessons that Krishna is trying to teach us in this world? And every incarnation, every avatar, every great devotee is teaching us something. And that's what we're supposed to do, is learn it. There's a difference between, for instance, the 10th canto, where all the lessons are learned, and to be qualified to understand the 10th canto, practically speaking, one has to have a spiritual body, or at least spiritual consciousness. But in these first nine cantos, we don't need a spiritual body and full Krishna consciousness, but we should learn the lessons that are here. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj, we're going to hear about Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj has a lot to teach us as he was teaching his demon friends, as he was teaching his father. Tatsada manye sorivarya deinam sadasama vigna vidyama satgrahat hidvatma patam griham andakupam manogatam yadari ashriyeta. So, we may think, Hiranyakashipu was a demon and we're all pure devotees. We have nothing to learn. But actually, we're aspiring to become devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So when he's instructing a demon like Hiranyakashipu, we probably have something to learn too, because we're not completely out of the woods of having this demoniac tendency. So Prahlad Maharaj is going to give us so many instructions. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'd like to hear two stories. One of them was the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, and the other was the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, we're getting a chance to hear the same stories that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like to hear again and again. At least we're going to hear them again. Matirana Krishne Paratak Sito Va Mito Bipadyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Govira Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvanana. When Prabhupada was speaking to John Lennon, at that time John Lennon was a very famous personality. I don't know how famous he is now, but he was extremely famous being one of the Beatles, but especially amongst the Beatles, he was famous and extremely wealthy, but extremely materialistic also. He had bad association in the form of his wife. In any case, Prabhupada chose not to tell him about how you're not this body. when he was in Tittenhurst, I think it's called Tittenhurst, where John Lennon had his estate, and the devotees were staying there, and John Lennon came with Oko, I think that's her name, is that right? Yoko. And I guess other, I don't know who else was there. But Srila Prabhupada decided to quote these verses to John Lennon and to, I guess George Harrison was there. Matirna Krishne Paratakshatova Mitopi Padyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Govira Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam Ite Vidu Swartha Gatim Vishnu Dharashaya Yevahi Arthamanina Andaya Tandir Pagyamanas Te Pisha Tantra Urudami Bada Aishamati Stavara Rukramangrim Srisha Inarto Bhagavan Nirasham Mihiyasam Pararuje Vishekam Iskin Shinanam Navriniti Advat. Prabhupada decided to sing, to go over that again and again and again. And these are persons who were not exactly qualified by understanding Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada thought this was appropriate. Matirna Krishna. People are trying to put their consciousness on so many things in order to solve their problems, but they won't put their consciousness upon Krishna. Why? Because they're made a vow to remain in the material concept of life. Simply trying to solve the problems of their body, of their family, of their society, of the universe, they're going to solve the problems first. But what are those problems? Simply, they're trying to satisfy their senses and the senses of others. But what would be the result? Adanta Govira Vishitam Tamizram. They simply will become degraded into the lower species of life. And Punak Punas Charvita, chew the chewed. And why is that happening? Because Nate Vidu Swartha Gatim Hi Vishnu. They don't know that Vishnu is the goal of life, Krishna. And they're becoming distracted by insignificant things. And therefore they're following blind people. They're blind, they're following blind people. Therefore the secret is find a person who actually is free from all material desires and follow their instructions, follow their example. So Prahlad Maharaj is such a personality, and other Mahajans, just like we'll find out, that Yudhisthira Maharaj, after hearing about Prahlad Maharaj, is thinking that he's actually a devotee, but I'm nothing. Although Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, Krishna was their personal friend, doing personal service for them, still the devotees are such, they appreciate the other devotees so much that in comparison to them, they think that they're nothing, they're insignificant. They take so much pleasure from the mood and the feelings of the other devotees that they actually feel themselves insignificant compared to the happiness they're getting deriving from the other great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So we can hear about Prahlad Maharaj, and then when we sing the Shingadev prayers, we should remember the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. It's not that Nrsingadev is, when we're singing the prayers, he's all by himself. Or that we're just singing, you know, we're trying to sing for a personal protector. In case someone comes to fight against us, we just say Nrsingadev and he appears and bifurcates him. That's not, well, we're singing, not only we're singing in the mood that we can have the same mood of Prahlad Maharaj in association with Nrsingadev. If we have that same mood, then certainly Nrsingadev will protect us. And if we sing like a parrot, then Srinadev doesn't protect Paris usually. But he will protect one who has the same mood as Prahlad Maharaj, or at least one who's trying to develop the same mood as Prahlad Maharaj, who's free from Hiranyakashipu, who defied Hiranyakashipu, soft bed and material wealth. So in the association of Prahlad Maharaj and the ecstasy that he felt and the fearlessness that he felt, we can also experience that same ecstasy of loving Lord Nrisimhadev, who is Lord Krishna himself, and that same selfless mood of love and devotion, free from the influence and the danger of soft beds and gold, sense gratification, and material economic development for sense gratification. That these are said, as Prahlad Maharaj said, in this world there's nothing, there's no real enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. The uncontrolled mind is uncontrolled by hankering for wealth and for sense gratification, and always disappointed that we never have enough wealth and sense gratification. So to get free from those things means what we can actually associate intimately with Prahlad Maharaj, and that way gain access to not only Prahlad Maharaj, but to our acharyas, gain access to the feelings and the conviction and the understanding of Prahlad Maharaj, and that way actually gain access to association with Krishna and his eternal devotees. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I have a small comment on the first canto and the 10 topics. So in his introduction to canto 6, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who following Sridhar Swami and other acharyas, also gives one of the 10 topics to each canto predominantly. And so for the seventh is the most complicated topic, uti, impetus for activities. So Vishnacha Kurdi Thakur explains here in this chapter that how does this canto explain impetus, canto 7. So he says it shows that an impetus for any activity comes from desires, and desires come from either blessings of devotees or from curses of devotees. So good wishes and not such nice wishes of devotees. So Hiranyakashipu was Jai Vijay cursed by the Kumaras, and Prahlad Maharaj was blessed by Narada Muni. So therefore Prahlad has this impetus to act in such a beautiful way, whereas Hiranyakashipu has such a bad impetus to act in demoniac way because of the curse. So that's I thought it's a very interesting comment from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about this canto, that it explains uti, and uti comes from good or bad wishes of devotees. And connected to this, I do have a question that it seems that especially in Kali Yuga that frequently we are in a situation where we are damned if you do and damned if you don't. And whatever, or if you are in any leading position or any decisions you make, that some things will, whatever you do, some people will be pleased and some devotees will be displeased. And so how to make sure that the balance is positive in devotees' blessings in our actions?
Well, we're not. We're after one devotee's blessings. That is Prabhupada, and therefore we'll receive the Charya's blessings in disciplic succession. So anyone who's not in line with Prabhupada, usually speaking, although they may claim they're in line with Prabhupada, unless they've assimilated Prabhupada's teachings and can actually get insight from Paramatma within the heart, what Krishna wants us to do, if we actually humbly investigate, and then when it becomes clear what Prabhupada and the acharyas and Krishna wants us to do, if we do that, we don't have to worry about other people's curses or blessings, because they won't have any effect anyhow compared to the blessings that we'll get from our acharyas. The same principle. If you're transcendental, if you're on the platform of transcendence, there's no question of curses or blessings for you. They don't make any. So we're just trying to come to the platform of getting the exhaust of blessings, namely Krishna and our acharyas in disciple succession. Then we have nothing else to worry about. But we should humbly investigate and make sure that this is actually Krishna's desire, not that we just superficially decide on something and claim this is what Krishna wants us to do and expect Krishna's blessings. No, if we actually humbly investigate, and when things are clearer through Guru Sadhana and Shastra and the inspiration, the enlightenment of Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, the super soul within our heart, then the result will be that we'll be in ecstasy. And we'll get the full blessings of Krishna, which is ultimately prema bhakti. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a question regarding to blessings. We have such a tendency. I have such a tendency to ask for for blessings, but then I heard that actually the true blessings are in the instructions that are given by those whom you ask the blessings. But sometimes I don't have a capacity to take all the instructions. So how is with these blessings? I'm out of the blessings, or?
Well, at least take one instruction. You don't have to take all of them. Take one of them. But without molding our lives in terms of the instructions of Krishna, then how can we expect blessings? We don't mold our lives in terms of the instructions of Krishna, then we'll be molding our lives in terms of the instructions of someone who's not Krishna. So we have a choice. It's not like some in-between. Either we surrender to Krishna, or we're already surrendered to the illusory energy in the form of so many instructions coming from some other people. Andaya tandira pigiyamanas te pisha tandra rudami bada. No one is devoid of following instructions. Everyone has a leader and they're following them. The question is who we're following, that's all. So better add a little bit each day, the instructions coming through our acharyas in disciple succession. And that way we'll give up a little each day of some of the other persons we've been serving since time immemorial who are taking us away from Krishna.
Thank you. It makes sense.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grand Raj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.